All About the G is brought to you by Pete's Cold Brew, proud partner of St. Mary's College Athletics. Welcome to All About the G, your one-stop shop for everything St. Mary's Athletics. I'm your host, Alex Jensen. Let's get started with this week's episode. This past summer, St. Mary's senior Carly Turner injured her knee during a scrimmage in preparation for the World University Games. Out for the season, the Australian native discusses how having to watch from the sidelines has changed her perspective on the game and her plans going forward. Carly, first of all, thanks for coming by. It's great to have you, and no more school for the next couple of weeks, so I'm sure you're happy.
Oh, I'm stoked. The second exams were over, I was like, chilling out. It's nice.
Do you guys so I know you guys are busy during winter break with basketball, but you know, when you have time to get together as a team, kind of, you know, away from campus, what kind of stuff do you guys do during winter break? Do you guys have any team outings or anything like that? Unofficial, of course, that's the coach there. Yeah.
Well, actually tonight, one of the girls on the team, Katie Rathbun, she's a junior and she lives in Danville. So we're all heading out there tonight for a team dinner, and it's an ugly sweater competition.
Those are good.
Yeah, they are good. So I've heard that one of the girls is making her hair a Christmas tree.
Wow.
Yep. So we're kind of going all out. We've got a couple of Santas and then a few surprise outfits that we've been told are brilliant. So
what kind of sweater do you have?
I've got one. I'm not sure if I'm allowed to say what's written on it.
Okay, that's fair. That's fair. Because I remember when I would go to those, it would be like you go to like the Goodwill or something like that and just find something hideous. But now it's like a whole marketing thing. Where do you see the Key and Peele skit with the substitute teacher? I'm not sure. Anyway, they did one off of that. It's crazy. It's a whole, like, I mean, you can find specialized ones online. That was not around when I was doing it. So
yeah. Well, mine's a shout out to Loz Nicholson, who left this one behind. So I'm just carrying on tradition. Yeah,
Loz Nicholson. There you go. Okay, let's talk about. So you are done for the year, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. A torn ACL. Is that the right?
Yep.
Okay.
Right ACL.
So now this happened over the summer. Representing your country, the World University Games.
Yep. So we went to Japan first, and Uni Games were in Taiwan. And we were playing the USA, actually. So it was the USA under-23 team in a scrimmage before the first little kind of tournament in Japan. And I decided it'd be a really good idea to go up for a rebound against a couple of 6'5", 6'6 girls. And five of us went up, and we all came down on top of each other, and I just happened to be at the bottom of the pack.
So what's going through your mind there? I mean, did you know right away it was a pretty serious injury, or were you just, you know?
I've never been injured. I've played my 3 years here. I don't think I'd missed a practice.
Wow.
Yeah, so when I did it, I felt a pop, but it never hurt. And Meg McKay was literally on court with me, and I was on the ground, and she was like helping me get up. And I was like, no, I'm fine. Get off me. Like, whatever. Then I went to take a step, and I was like, oh, I might need you.
Yeah, something's not right.
Yeah, something's not right. So it was a bit of denial for a few days, but I think you knew deep down something was really wrong, because, yeah, I don't get injured, and the fact that I couldn't walk on it was pretty much a giveaway.
Well, you said it was kind of a play that is uncharacteristic for you. I mean, probably right place, right time. But I would imagine, too, like right when you said that, if I got to put on the Team USA uniform and go out there and play, I mean, especially the first game, I'd imagine just pure adrenaline, right?
Oh, absolutely. And I was like a bench player on that team, so it's really trying to prove yourself as well. And so I wanted to do all the little things, and that was kind of my thing, was, okay, go in for every rebound, dive on every loose ball and stuff. And so it was the fact that they were such big girls didn't occur to me. I just wanted to get in there and get my hands dirty.
Well, that you know, that whole mentality too of getting on loose balls and really crashing for, that seems to be kind of the Australian way, right? The Australian style.
Oh, absolutely. That's what we're taught from a young age is, and I mean, you look at Daly, and he's a great,
sure,
great example of someone who will just do anything. The one percenters, that's what we always talk about being an Australian player, is the one percenters, and yeah, diving on loose balls, getting the tough rebounds and making the easy passes. That's kind of the things that are instilled in us from a really young age.
So I imagine PT probably took a little tough when you broke the news to him, because you started every game last year.
Yeah.
And, you know, a really key piece of the rotation, and coming into this year, you have almost everybody back from the year before. The timing had to have been tough. What was his reaction?
Well, I was too scared to tell him at the start. I called Tracy, I think, Allison was actually on a plane to Taiwan at the time.
Right.
Accidentally. She was going on a trip of Southeast Asia, and Lisa was in Hawaii. Like, everyone was on their trips. I thought Coach was in France, but he wasn't. And so I called Tracy, and I mean, I think I texted her and she called me, and I was bawling. And then I spoke to Coach the next day, and he'd had a bit of time to kind of take the news before we spoke about it, but he was great. And we spoke a couple of times that day, and it was more about the future, like what I can get out of it and how this could be good for me in the long run. So I was trying to stay positive, trying to figure out the dynamics of how I'd get my surgery and get back to the USA, and not really, like, trying to avoid the sad side of it and what I am missing out on. And I've just tried to put that into the background and think about what I am getting out of it.
Basically, the only thing you can do right there, right? I mean, you can't change what happened.
Yeah, and there's no going back. And that was the hardest thing in the original days, was to think about, like, you know, I had my whole senior season mapped out, and we have such a great team, and I love the girls, that we have a great connection, like, on and off the court. So it was, like, trying to find a way to not worry about that and just think about myself.
I guess the bonus is, though, you get that you get one more year here, right? I mean,
yeah, it's hard to see that now.
Yeah, exactly.
But I'm sure next year I'll be really happy about that. Yeah.
Sidebar, by the way, I told you before this that I went to Japan, and I actually went to Thailand as well. And you mentioned Allison's travel. I ran into Allison in Thailand.
Really?
Yes. Totally random. Like, literally, there's like a strip in the city in Thailand. It's called Patong Beach. I made a right off the strip down a back alley, like down a back. There was like a bunch of food vendors there and tables set up for people to eat. And Allison is sitting there eating. It was the most random thing that's ever happened to me.
Well, Allison, she was a gem. So she, after her trip, had a layover in Taiwan and was planning on coming to watch us if we happened to have a game that day. But we didn't. So she was like, oh, you know what? I'll just leave him alone. And she was going to do her own thing. And then when she found out I'd done my knee, she went out of her way to, like, seek me out in Taiwan and came and just hung out with me for a little bit. And, I mean, it was so – I don't think she realizes how, like, good that was for me to see someone and just know that they still had my back through it all.
That seems to be a central theme here at St. Mary's, with both basketball programs in particular.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. I mean, Coach was recruiting in Australia after I'd had my surgery. And so, like, he came out of his way to my house, which he didn't have to do, and just sat down with my family and kind of, you know, we didn't even talk about basketball, really. We spoke about the girls and how they were going. We spoke about my future and, like, my MBA, getting my master's, and what a fifth year will mean. And he was just so positive about it. And the other coaches have been so amazing. And so, yeah, it's made it a lot easier.
So you will be going to graduate school here then next year at St. Mary's.
I will be.
Any idea what you'll be studying yet?
My plan is to get my MBA, so Masters of Business Administration.
Very good.
Yeah, that's the plan right now. I haven't really looked into it, though, so we'll figure that one out probably in the next few weeks, yeah.
So what is the timetable for you to resume basketball activity, or have you done that already?
No, I just started running last week.
Congratulations.
So very, very exciting. Little bit 100%. Most of it's on the Ultra G at kind of 80 to 90% body weight. Playing will be a slow process getting back into it. So it will be more so non-contact stuff for the next few months. And then I'll probably get back to playing about June this year, which will be when everyone starts to go home. So I won't do any contact stuff with the team until the fall of next season.
So what does let me phrase this a different way. So far with the rehab, I know that's a kind of a grueling process. How do you kind of mentally attack that every single day?
Ooh, it's painful. I'm really lucky. I have a great support network. I live with Stella, and she's been great for me. I have Allison, who's we shoot together a lot, and she's always checking in, as are the other coaches. And then Leary and Steve, who are my trainer and strength and conditioning coach, and I'm with them. I spend way too much time with them every day, and I'm annoying them. So I think they're good in a way that they're always smiling, and they kind of add a bright side to my day. So the girls had a day off today, for example, but I was in there for 4 or 5 hours rehabbing and working out. And they're the tough days, you know, but I have these guys that are just always on the bright side and looking out for me.
So the transition you've been through 8 games so far this year, and obviously having to be on the sideline would be tough. Have you gained a different perspective of just kind of looking at everything through that lens, not just at practice, but during games as well?
Yeah, absolutely. I think I see the biggest differences in the losses. So the wins, everyone's happy, but the losses, when you're playing it's much easier to blame other people, or, you know, not always see the same perspective as the coaches perhaps, whereas I think my perspective shifted a lot, that I understand where coach is coming from, which is something I probably never thought I would say.
Right. And having that perspective, I mean, especially coming from where you are, it always helps. I mean, you know, obviously as a player, you always want to listen to coach, but it's totally different coming from a peer, right? So have you tried to kind of input yourself in that type of leadership role at all this year actively, or is it just something you kind of find yourself doing unconsciously almost?
Yeah, no, I'm a very outspoken person as it is, so I'm always putting my opinion forward and stuff. And I kind of spoke to coach and I spoke to the girls and said, like, well, what do you want from me this year? Do you want me to just, you know, sit back and do my rehab or be involved? And they've all been really good in, like, wanting me to be involved and have a really active role and a leadership role. And so I do try and do that. And the things that the coaches don't see or the girls don't see, I try and kind of bring them together. That's my biggest, what I'm putting my effort into this year is just, yeah, finding a way to kind of bring them all together or point out the little things that people aren't seeing, you know?
Sure. Well, when things aren't going well, I mean, sometimes with some teams, it can turn into the coaches against the players, and there's no bridge there. That's nice that you, being a senior, are able to bridge that gap.
Yeah, and I mean, our coaches do a really good job of making sure that doesn't happen anyway.
Yes.
But, you know, when you lose, things always go bad, and it hasn't been a great few weeks for us on court, but off court, I think we're still really strong, and it's been good for me to be able to kind of hear both sides of it and bring both sides to one another, and it's been interesting. Yeah,
well, on court, I mean, I can't, you know, the three losses you can't play, you play a tough schedule every single year, and you beat Boise State on the road, you beat Washington State, who I think is in the top 30 or something like that RPI, at least as of last weekend they were. So there certainly have been some bright spots. The other part of that is, especially with you out of the rotation has got a little bit younger. I mean, you already had some freshmen that were coming in that were figured to play prominent roles. Have you seen, especially those young players, adapt to the college game from your perspective?
I mean, we knew Maddie would come in and do brilliantly, and she has. She's done exactly what everyone expected her to. Em, I was really excited about Em because she has a great body for basketball and a great mind, and she works hard, but she's surprised everyone in how quickly she's come in, and she's just so confident with the ball and confident with herself. And I think I look back at my freshman self, and I always say to Em, I wish I was more like you when I was a freshman. I wish I had had that confidence, because that's all you need as a freshman, is like just to go in and act confidently and shoot the ball when you're open. And she's done really well. So both of them have done an amazing job of adapting to the game.
Have you thought about coaching at all in your future? I mean, and if you hadn't, has your experience so far this year swayed you in that way at all?
Yeah, I hadn't. I was absolutely not about to coach this year. It's made me want to be more involved in basketball in the future. I don't know about coaching, but definitely just seeing the other side of it. I never thought I'd be able to sit out and enjoy sitting out. I'm not enjoying it. That's not the way to put it, but learn something from it and get something out of it.
Right.
And so that's kind of surprised me, and I thought maybe there is a future there. We'll have to wait and see.
Now that it is 2 years down the road, post St. Mary's, what are your plans post St. Mary's? Is it pursuing a pro career like you told me before? Is that something that you've been interested in back home?
Yeah, absolutely. So if you had have asked me a few years ago, I probably would have said that, you know what, after St. Mary's, I might just go and work on my, you know, career outside of basketball, and whatever happens with basketball happens. And then last year went pretty well for me, and I was like, oh, I might play pro. And then this has happened, and I think this has just really given me a hunger to want to keep playing. And I've kind of realized how much it does mean to me. So I definitely will look at going and playing pro, whether that's in Australia or Europe. I'm not too sure yet, but we'll definitely play pro afterwards.
That blessing in disguise.
Yeah, there's a lot of blessings in disguise here.
Okay, time for some nonsense. Now, what do you miss most about home, especially now during the holidays? Anything in particular?
I mean, it's summer right now.
That's true. Well, it feels like summer almost outside. I mean, it hasn't rained at all.
Yeah, California's a pretty good place to be. But I miss my family. I have a huge family. I've got 12 cousins all around my age, and we're always together this time of year. So.
12 cousins?
Yep.
Lucky you.
Yep. So that would definitely be the worst part about being away right now.
Favorite thing to eat around here in Moraga?
Chipotle.
Chipotle. Mm-hmm. Is there much? There's not a whole lot of Chipotle back home.
There's not really much Mexican at all, and the Mexican just isn't as good. So Chipotle is definitely my favorite American thing.
How much have you enjoyed Oliver Hall? Do they still call it Saga here
Saga,
on campus?
Yeah. I live off campus now, so when I get in, it's not. I shouldn't get in there, but I don't mind it actually. It's a good one.
Is late night still a thing?
Late night is a thing, and Sundays.
Sundays. I don't remember that. See, I don't think I'd even recognize it if I walked in there now. They've changed it so much since I was going to school here.
Yeah, when I first came, it was the Harry Potter halls, the long ones. Yeah, it's a bit different now for sure.
Favorite thing about St. Mary's?
I know this is going to sound really cliche, but it is a family atmosphere. You know, you're not just a number in a system. I missed the first 5 weeks of school because of my knee surgery. And my teachers were okay with that, and they looked out for me, and the coaches looked out for me, and yeah, I just always feel like someone's got my back here.
Does your family get to visit just about every year?
Yeah, they've come every year so far. They love it.
So have they been yet so far this year?
No, they're going to wait till graduation.
Oh, nice. That's right, because you'll be walking, right?
Yeah, I'll be walking.
I'm sure that'll be an exciting day, get the plots going and everything on the chapel lawn. Always a fun day here in Moraga.
Yeah, I can't believe I'm graduating. I mean,
it goes by fast, doesn't it?
Oh, my gosh. I still feel like I'm a freshman.
Yeah, almost feels like you just got here, huh?
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, Carly, thanks so much for spending the time. Really appreciate it. Best of luck with the season for the team and, of course, your rehab and getting back out to the court as soon as possible. Really appreciate you spending the time here. Hope to do it again soon.
Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. The Gale women start a 4-game road trip with 3 games at the Basketball Travelers Incorporated Invitational at Purdue University. That's starting December 17th before beginning West Coast Conference play on the 28th at LMU. Your next chance to catch the Gales in McEwen Pavilion comes December 30th when St. Mary's hosts the Cougars of BYU. All About the G is brought to you by Pete's Cold Brew, proud partner of St. Mary's College Athletics. All cold brews are not created equal. Pete's is brewed cold and meant to stay that way. We never overheat it or add ingredients to make it shelf stable. Always cold means it's always fresh. Cold is our only preservative. Pete's Cold Brew, the difference is true. The Marquee Pack is back by popular demand. The Gonzaga game in Moraga highlights this 4-game package, which is only $109, and also includes home games against Dayton, BYU, and senior night against longtime rival Santa Clara. This ticket package is the only way to get a Gonzaga ticket, so act now. To purchase a Marquee Pack, go to smcgales.com and look in the ticket section. A familiar face can be seen on the bench beside Randy Bennett and company this season as former St. Mary's star Rob Jones has returned to Moraga to begin his coaching career. Rob sat down to discuss the transition from his playing days to life on the sidelines. Rob, thanks for joining us here this afternoon, taking time out of your schedule. I know now that you got no more class to worry about,
yeah,
and you turned in that last paper.
All done.
All good to go. How's graduate program going? I know we talked a little bit about how it's different than undergrad, but you're doing leadership, right?
Yeah, no, I mean, it's definitely a transition after being out of school for about five and a half years, but it was something I was willing and welcoming back in my life just to kind of start to get into this path of coaching.
Is that something you always kind of had as a plan after your playing days?
Oh, most definitely. Ever since I kind of left this program and that three-year period I was here, just the coaching atmosphere and the coaches and everything I experienced with them is kind of what led me towards that trend of wanting to become a coach.
Before we get into that part of it, you played overseas. Mm-hmm. I know a few years in Europe. Again, we talked about this before. I have the timeline all wrong. It's hard. In case you're looking for this, folks, I learned this the hard way doing the All-Star Classic.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it is almost impossible to find. The European stuff is a little bit easier to find, but Australian.
Mess,
and then you mentioned Latin America. I had no idea.
Yeah, so I played 1 year Poland, 2 years in Greece, spent about a year and a half going between Dominican Republic and Puerto Rico. And then, my last year I spent in Australia, and unfortunately, kind of what led me back here is I broke my foot, and it was just kind of as I get older, it's just hard to get back in shape and gain a little weight. So I said, you know what, it's a great opportunity. A spot was available on staff, so kind of just filled that.
Did you have do you have any one of those favorite countries was your favorite to live in, or in food or anything like that?
It's definitely Australia. As funny as that as that is, I never thought I'd be
say that. Yeah.
I'd be spending so much time I mean, with all the people that I know from Australia, playing with them, definitely my favorite experience was in Australia.
Now, where in Australia were you?
I was in Melbourne.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, in different little cities outside there. Played one season, spent an off season there, doing basketball camps and working and such like that, and planned on playing another, but like I said, unfortunately, I broke my foot prior to season, and I was back.
Did you find that, I mean, just the St. Mary's, and I have conversations like this all the time with Marty, but how did you find the St. Mary's brand was received down there? I mean, did people kind of already know who you were because of your time here in Moraga?
Oh, yeah, for sure. That's kind of what helped me kind of get started down there. Everyone follows us. Everyone remembers me playing with Deli. I mean, that was the biggest thing. Everyone's like, oh, how's Deli? Are you his friend? Are you talking to him? I'm like, yeah, no, I know him. He's doing all right. Like, yeah, he's getting $50 million contracts.
Lucky guy.
Yeah, he's doing well.
Yeah. And there's a good number of American guys that played here. Stephen Holt's down there again. His second stint, I think. Mm-hmm. Garrett Jackson. I think Desmond Simmons is down there as well. So I'm sure you ran into some. And Phil Benson's down there. He's not playing basketball, but he's living there.
Yeah. No, actually, I spent a lot of time with Garrett and Des. I would talk to Phil every week. It's just we have a whole little St. Mary's community out there, so it's more inviting and what helped make me enjoy my stay.
So talk me through the process of coming back here to St. Mary's to start your coaching career. You mentioned the St. Mary's community in Australia, and we talked with Carly Turner yesterday, and that's one of the things she mentioned. Her favorite thing about St. Mary's is the tight-knit community here. And I know you've forged a really good relationship with Coach Bennett over your years playing and being recruited here. And walk me through that process. How did you end up back here in Moraga?
Okay, so as soon as I got the release of San Diego, it had to be no more than 24 hours that I either got a call from Bennett or something. It was all legal, right?
But yeah.
So eventually that Easter 2009 came up to Coach Bennett's house, had like a little pre-recruiting visit and just talked to him and was just able to forge a bond. And like from there, I knew it was where I wanted to be. And he kind of explained to me how I was going to be highlighted and just kind of sold what I wanted to hear, I guess. And yeah, from then on, just playing for him. We went through our hard times, for sure. Different program, different responsibilities, different expectations. And that only transformed me into the man I am today and everything that I've learned and took from him and this program. So I'm very thankful for it.
I dug up an article that Steve Croner wrote back in your senior year about how good guy. He's still around here, man. Steve, you're listening to this. I've been trying to get him on this podcast, actually. And for you who are listening now, please start sending us questions and topics to discuss so me and Steve can kind of go back and forth on it. But I dug up an article that he wrote during your senior year after you guys had won the West Coast Conference title outright at San Francisco, the first time since 1989. And I saw a quote from you in that article saying that, you know, after spending your time here at St. Mary's, it really helped you grow as a person. What about the community here at St. Mary's? Because I felt the same way, too, after I spent my time here at St. Mary's. And I know countless other people have. What about this community helps people grow in that way?
For me, it's just it was a small environment, kind of almost big fish in a small pond where it's like you're able to get better at whatever attributes or whatever you develop as a person, you're able to really focus on that just because it's so small and you get to know everyone so well. So you just feel comfortable in your own skin.
Do you have any good memories? I mean, I'm sure you have a bunch, but are there any that pop up right away when you think about your playing days here?
God, there's so many. There's so many good and there's so many bad. I mean, I spent a lot of hours in McKeon. Mm-hmm. It's funny, like even Madigan's good to work out in now, but it's just so many. I mean, on and off the court, the guys, mm-hmm. probably some I shouldn't be talking about, but there's so many stories that, I mean, that's what brings me back here is my memories and good times I had here.
So now you mentioned the timing of coming back here to start your master's work and start your path to becoming a basketball coach. How did that process work? I mean, you said you hurt your foot. Was Coach Bennett again one of the first people you called?
Yeah, he was the first one of the first people that knew about it that I was planning on coming home. A lot of people I was in contact with in Australia were talking to him, relaying how I was doing, stuff like that. And then, yeah, when I came back, it probably had to be no less than a week. I came, I forget what game I came to, but I came to one of the games here, sat in the locker room with the guys after the game. And from then, like, that wasn't on my mind. Initially was to get surgery, get better, and eventually go back, hopefully even that summer. But it came down to working out here, being around the culture again, just feeling so welcome. And getting my master's was not on my agenda this time last year, you know, but it kind of found its way into my life, and I figured out that's kind of what I want to do. And if that's how I got to get there, I got to get on this path and start being around the team, learning the intricacies behind the scenes that you don't even realize as a player.
What are the biggest things you have learned?
God, it's funny because I'm in leadership, just the different effects of leadership and how to handle situations and dealing with the players. And I mean, there's so many other things becoming to scouting, cutting film.
A lot of work goes into that, man. I mean, you guys are watching film constantly. That's one thing I'm always blown away by.
Yeah.
You know?
No, I mean, even in Anaheim, just how, like, the players, they're prepped so well. Coach Bennett and the rest of the coaching staff is up watching film until 1 in the morning some nights. You know, after a tough loss, you got to figure out what happened, where do you course correct, and still prepare for the next game in those kind of environments where it's back to back to back. It's just, it's a lot of work, and it's just, it's something I'm more than excited to get myself involved with, but it's a process, and I'm growing through it. So.
That type of work ethic, I mean, that Coach Bennett and the rest of these guys put in, and now yourself in that same group as well, I'd imagine that's one of the qualities that really makes a good coach and a good teacher, a good leader like that.
No, I mean, me and Bennett, like, we first talked about it towards the end of the summer going into this leadership, coming to GA, and he says, well, I'm going to tell you right now, it's a lot. It's not all the glamour, and one of the things that he thinks makes St. Mary's so good is all the hours and effort and time and commitment that the coaches do put into it, and I think it definitely shows, and I think it's what makes this coaching staff such a great group and how they bond so well, and it shows within the preparation and care for the players.
Everything is earned, right? I mean, yeah. There's literally, I mean, he took over a 2-27 team here. You know, I mean, a lot of people come in and look at the facilities and what have you. Granted, they are much better than they were.
Yeah.
You know, 4 or 5. You mentioned Madigan. I mean, that's a complete transformation in itself. I remember going in there at the beginning of the year last year just thinking, is this the same building? None of the windows are broken?
Yeah.
Amazing transformation. But that kind of earned, not given. That seems to be a constant theme, you know, within the coaching staff and really finding guys who want to grind and get better and make the most out of their basketball career.
Yeah, I mean, that's what attracted me to coming here. Like I said, he told me not what I wanted to hear. I guess I told you what he wanted to hear, but he told me, do you want to be a pro? Because going into college, I didn't ever consider playing professional basketball and doing whatever that I did. But he told me, if you want to be a pro, we have the tools to take you to that level as you want. And, I mean, I did my time with the summer league and playing overseas, and I enjoyed every second of it. It's definitely tough being away. So, like, I give to every other player out there that's still doing it, you know. But I'm just lucky I'm able to come back home and have this opportunity because I've developed a relationship with Coach. And, I mean, he always tells me how much of a smart player I was. And, I mean, I just want to translate it into the other side of the game.
I was just going to say, it's probably what's going to help make you a good coach, right? I mean,
you would think it's a lot harder because what I've realized is being a player, you know, you always got that banter and kind of the talk you have with the guys, but as a coach, you can't really have the same relationship. You could still joke and have fun, but you have to be more uplifting and bringing positivity to them. Without pumping their heads up, you know, Bennett always says, don't gas mask, right?
Yeah.
So it's a fine line of understanding how to communicate with players and helping them, because I think that's one of the main things I want to get out of it, because I got so much help from the great coaches like Randy and Croy and Iran and Capes, you know, while they were here, they made me a better person. So that's kind of what I want to instill in some of these players as I move along and becoming a coach.
And that's what – and you just mentioned four guys who are now head coaches, yeah. right? I mean, so that's not bad right there. But that kind of seems like that line that coach is able to walk so well. I mean, all the guys respect him, but, you know, it's not like a fearful respect, right? I mean, it's like you said, it's a tough line to walk, and something you have to learn kind of within yourself, right? Mm-hmm. The best way to do that for you.
Yeah, no, like I said, it's just I got to change of my whole mindset of how to talk to people and presenting myself and even growing further as a person and into a man. Just getting some of the other aspects of being a player that you don't realize. And I'm not saying I was lazy, but it's a whole nother echelon of commitment and just being on your P's and Q's. You know, you can't mess up as a coach. You can't do silly things and act like a child. And just the coach has got to always be on par, on course.
Leading by example.
Yeah.
The culture here is so important, and you hear Randy and Marty and all the guys, all the players even talk about it, but being from the coaching side now, and even after being gone for a few years, I'm sure you see how important that culture is here now to building the success where this program now is.
No, yeah, definitely. One of the biggest frustrating parts of being a professional athlete to me was just the individualism. You know, a lot of players playing for the next contract, playing for the next year, playing to move up in the league, whatever it may be. It becomes very stats oriented and getting yours, and a lot of players not being able to exchange with other players just because of the turmoil on the team, or if you lose, it's someone's fault, and how's that going to reflect on me? And that's lost when I'm not here at this institute, you know? Where it's no matter if Jock has a bad game or if Emmett throws maybe two turnovers, which is rare,
yeah,
right?
Seriously.
But it's just everyone's at the common with the common goal, from the managers to the ops guys to the head coach. We're all on a mission to strive to one thing: is NCAA tournament and win.
From a player's perspective, you put yourself in these guys' shoes when they see so many guys come back and work out over the summer or come to the All-Star Classic or come back and coach. What does that say about the culture of this program?
I think it says a tremendous amount. Just not only the loyalty to Coach Bennett, I mean, having the tenure he's had of being a coach here and how many players he's had and how many great players he's had, but and that respect him, you know, to come back and – having the second All-Star game and even starting to plan the next one, you know, it's just going to keep growing. And it's fun to be a part of.
What's your favorite part about being back here?
Being back in the Bay and just
being
a part of practice. God, I'm, even though, like, I just so wish I could be a part of practice and play every yeah. play. Like, I'm just sitting there, like, itching, like, oh, man, I want to get in there. But it's just – it's fun just to be a part of that environment and do whatever I can to help, whether it's just rebounding for guys or working them out and getting guys ready that are redshirting. So it's definitely a fun process for me.
I was joking with Coach on – I think it was the first episode of this we did. I just mentioning you and Marcus and JJ and Lippy now. I mean, all you guys are so closely removed from playing. I mean, I'm sure you guys can get out there and throw out a pretty good scout team, you know, during practice and everything like that.
Well, it's funny because me and Schroeder kind of have this two-on-two matchup versus Lippy and JJ, and just we kind of play before every game, so – we definitely can still get out there.
I don't doubt it. I saw you at the All-Star Classic, man.
Yeah, I was just getting back then, so but now I've expanded back to a little bit of my old game, rebounded and getting up and down. But the other day, we had a manager's game versus the Cal manager.
I saw pictures. Yeah, I saw pictures. How'd it go?
Yeah, we won.
All right.
We won in overtime. They definitely had some talent. So I was surprised by the talent. But it was a good game, and so it was fun.
I see those pictures. I'm just thinking.
I'm the
like,
one who took
man.
The picture. I'm like, why can't I be in this?
They're
it's
thinking
right.
it's not fair.
It's
this isn't right. fair. This guy was a two-time All-Leaguer.
They've had their time. I've had my time. You know,
there you go.
I have too many pictures up here. even when I wasn't playing.
Well, you're already on the back wall, right?
Yeah,
so there you go. Well, Rob, hey, thanks again, man. Really enjoyed this, and I hope we can do it again soon.
Oh, most definitely. All right, AJ.
Tickets are still available for upcoming men's and women's games in Moraga. The St. Mary's men continue their homestand this Saturday, December 16th, against UC Irvine at 5 p.m. The Gales will then conclude their non-conference schedule, hosting Dayton on the 19th and Big South favorite UNC Asheville on the 22nd. Then it's off to West Coast Conference action as St. Mary's hosts LMU on Thursday, December 28th to conclude a stretch of six in a row at McEwen Pavilion. Follow us on Twitter at AllAboutTheG. You can get show information and interact with us by submitting feedback or a question or topic to be discussed on a future episode. That's at AllAboutTheG on Twitter or send us an email at allaboutthegales@gmail.com. So that's it. Thanks for tuning into this edition of All About the G. I'm Alex Jensen, and I'll see you at the Pavilion.